A three-year effort to reform and update Act 250, the state's 50-year-old land use law, ended last night with a veto by Governor Phil Scott. VPR's John Dillon covers environmental issues and followed this bill throughout the legislature this year. He's with us now. Hey, John.
Hi, Liam.
So why did the governor veto this bill?
Well, the governor in his veto message said the bill fell far short of what he wanted to see. He said basically the bill didn't improve anything, but instead added more, in his phrase, regulatory uncertainty over recreation trails. These are trails used by mountain bikers, snowmobilers, and others. And he said it added more complex regulation for projects that would result in forest fragmentation, and the forestry industry is one that he's been trying to boost. And Scott had supported a compromise at the beginning of the session that would have lifted Act 250 review for projects in designated downtowns and village centers. But and in exchange for that, it added more protections in upper elevation areas. But when that compromise sort of fell apart, the governor said, and a pared-down bill resulted, the governor said the bill would increase environmental regulation with none of the trade-offs. So he said it wasn't good.
All right. So, John, maybe we should just back up for a minute to help put some of that into context. You know, some folks might not be as familiar with Act 250 as you are. Could you just tell us a little bit about what Act 250 does for the state?
Sure. So Act 250, it's almost a part of Vermont lore. It was pushed by a Republican, Dean Davis, who was a governor 50 years ago. And he responded to what he saw and others saw as uncontrolled development in Vermont, especially in southern Vermont at the ski areas down there. So what the bill does is it sets up a review process for large projects by which a local commission, which is appointed by the governor, they're called district environmental commissions, would review the project and make sure they comply with specific environmental and social criteria, such as does it cause undue adverse impact on water quality, traffic, air quality. It's been updated over the years, but then 3 years ago, this commission spent 18 months looking at the law and how to improve it and modernize it. That was the groundwork for what was happening in the legislature this session and the compromise that the governor ultimately had agreed to.
Why is there such a disagreement over how it should be updated? You reported during the session that the bill revealed some sharp divides in the environmental community. Why is that?
Well, environmental groups in Vermont are not in lockstep over a number of issues, energy, water, et cetera, including Act 250. Vermont Natural Resources Council, which is a well-established, you could call them mainstream environmental group, actually met behind closed doors with the governor's team and came up with this compromise. But other environmental groups and other environmentalists did not like that and felt, frankly, it was a sellout. James Ellers, for example, he's a policy advisor to Lake Champlain International. He's worked on water quality issues for many years. He's concerned, it's a big issue for him, about these sewage overflows that we see frequently fouling Lake Champlain during high rainfall events. So he didn't think downtowns should be exempted from this key piece of environmental regulation, downtown developments, as the compromise had called for.
The whole notion that we should be reducing state oversight over communities that are already struggling to keep human waste either partially treated or totally untreated out of our drinking water supplies was just astounding to me, that supposed environmentalists would even consider that sort of concession.
On the other hand, there's a strong argument about downtowns that's where you want development to happen, especially with the state facing a shortage of affordable housing. But then the critics pointed out that just because a developer gets their permit costs lowered doesn't mean they're going to cut the housing costs. So maybe we wouldn't see that actual benefit.
All right. But what about the people who supported the bill? What do they say?
Well, we got quick reaction this morning from Democrat gubernatorial candidate David Zuckerman, who promised to work with the legislature on a bill to update Act 250. And President Pro Tem Tim Ash said the bill, while admittedly was pared down, did give the governor what he wanted in terms of recreational trails because it kept him out of Act 250, at least until a state policy is developed. Ash also said the governor had previously supported that language and the forest fragmentation piece he now objects to. And then Brian Shoup, who's the executive director of VNRC, said he was really disappointed with the veto. This is something that his group has spent years working on. And he noted that in addition to the veto, the governor issued an executive order that delays or suspends Act 250 decisions on trails while the state figures out what to do. And Shoup says that doesn't make any sense. Here's how he put it.
The most troubling component of that is that the governor has directed his administration to not enforce certain environmental laws. And I don't believe that's legal. The governor can't pick and choose what laws get enforced by the administration. And that's what he's doing with this executive order. And that's very troubling.
So with this veto, John, does that mean that the reform to Act 250 is essentially dead? I mean, the legislature is not going to be coming back this year. So, I mean, what happens next?
Right. Well, the legislature adjourned without scheduling a veto session. At this point, without that scheduled, only the governor can call lawmakers back to Montpelier. So they won't get a chance to have a vote to override the veto. I'm not sure they would have had the votes to override anyway. So next year, with a brand new legislature, if they have an appetite to go through this and there was 2 years of hearings, they may try again.
That's VPR reporter John Dillon. John, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Liam.